from time to time as a way of remembering someone who has lost life. Often, tragically, we will hear in the news media somebody recount with a smile on their face and tears in their eyes, "She just lit up any room she entered. He was the light of any group of people he was a part of. They lit up any place they went." There's something about that idea of light and joy that some people bring, and that often when people are remembering loved ones, they recount. Sometimes as I'm hearing those kinds of words of joy and sorrow shared at the same time, I think to myself, what must it be like for those people who are experiencing that pain and remembering that joy? I also, as pictures of the deceased are shown on the screen or in the newspaper, sometimes think to myself, I wonder what it was like to be in that person's presence. What was that thing that helped to light up any room where they went? And often I also think about those people in my own life over the years who I would describe in just that way. They were the light of any room where they went. There's something about light. There's something about joy. There's something about community that causes us to talk about people in that way. It's the light that we talk about that is a giving light. What people mean when they say that is, when you were in a room with that person, you felt better. You felt special. Things felt exciting. There was a glow. There was a buzz. More life was given to that place, to that time. Every once in a while, usually not upon the end of someone's life, but every once in a while, someone will say about some other person, he sucks all the oxygen out of every room he's in. Or she or they. There's something about that doesn't speak of light and life. One wonders, as we recount this final page of the book of Revelation, the end of our very Bible, what it means to consider that thing for which we hope is a time and a place and a setting where God's light fills everything that can be seen, heard, or felt. A time, a place, and an experience where that light and that life flows like a river and grows like a tree and offers healing to all people, healing for all the nations. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who gave and lost their lives in times of conflict, and those who are a part of our own families and communities who have gone before us. We give thanks for their lives as we remember. And we do so both with sorrow, especially as we remember times of war and conflict, but also with joy because they were a part of our lives and they helped to make our communities what they are today. This text at the end of Revelation that paints for us this beautiful picture of a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to the earth, where God's throne is in the center of the city, and out of that throne flows this river of the waters of life. And on either side, this tree grows where the leaves are there for the healing of the nations. And we don't even need the sun anymore because God is our light. Reminds us that everything for which we hope, everything for which we long, is to be found in God and in communities celebrating God's presence. If you've ever had a day where you've wondered about the presence of God, or you've lamented the apparent absence of God, it's important to understand what the book of Revelation tells us about what God's presence would be like. Light, life, healing for the nations. It's a coming together of human beings. It is not necessarily the dissolving of national boundaries, but the fact that national boundaries are no longer about division or strife or scorn, that they're about healing, about human well-being, about joy, about light. The thing about light is it can bring warmth. The thing about light is it can bring joy. In fact, we know from studies that there is this seasonal affective disorder or SAD that happens when people, especially during the winter months, especially in places where the winter months are especially long and there is not much sunlight, people can actually have a change in how they see the world and how they feel. There's something about the light. Perhaps that's why the Beatles and so many others have written songs like "Here Comes the Sun." What does it mean for the sun to shine again? Perhaps it's why, when speaking of God and God's glory, the book of Revelation says, "Now imagine something even better than the sun. Imagine a light that brings warmth and joy and community in ways that are beyond what you've experienced so far, but that you hope for with all you've got." There's something else about light. Sometimes I've heard or read that sunlight is the best disinfectant. Have you ever heard that? Light shows forth things. Light makes it difficult to hide in the shadows. Light makes us see what's what. As I imagine this throne of God and this river coming out and no need for lamps or the sun because the light of God is there, I imagine that it's a moment where not only is there healing for the nations, but that this healing has to do with the telling of truths and the facing of difficulties, a coming together that acknowledges we have not always been together, a coming together that acknowledges the pain of having been apart. It's one thing, I think, to imagine this beautiful scene and this throne and this river and this light and these leaves and to say everything will be okay someday and to not even think about the fact that everything is not okay today. But we are called to understand that truth, light, joy, and life, when they come together, they expose falsehood, darkness, hatred, and death. And that is a healing process. That's probably why when we gather at this table, it's not only to celebrate the resurrection, but it's to remember the crucifixion. Because we know in the darkest days of our lives, in the deepest pits of conflict, in the most seemingly hopeless situations, we need light the most. We need hope the most. We need love the most. Cynics are saying and writing time and time again that maybe we don't need religion anymore. Maybe we don't need faith anymore. Maybe we don't need faith communities anymore because the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway. And all of those hope-filled people and all of their starry-eyed stories just don't mean anything anymore. My guess is people were saying that when John of Patmos was writing of his revelation as well. Everything had gone to pot. And yet, John, through his vision, reports that's when we need this vision of hope the most. And I tend to agree. If there are lies moving through our community today, how much more do we need the light of truth? If there is despair moving among the nations today, how much more do we need the certainty of faith-filled hope? If there is darkness moving across the face of the earth and in and among people today, how much more do we need a story of a God of the truth of light? Light that brings joy, light that brings warmth, light that exposes lies, light that illumines truth. How much more do we need it today? The sun's a pretty good light. Lamps aren't bad, but the sun is fantastic. In fact, at the beginning of the Bible, we hear that the sun and the moon are indeed lamps that illumine the earth. They're hung in the sky there that we might have their light. But here in the book of Revelation, we hear that God's light, God's eternal, perfect light, is even better. It causes us not to need the sun, not to need those lamps. So I wonder, does that mean that we have to wait to experience God's light? Does that mean that the sun and those lamps are counterfeits for now, but we can at least read in a storybook about how maybe someday the light of God will shine forth? Maybe someday nations can be healed. Maybe someday there will be a river flowing forth from the throne of God. Or is it an invitation to receive that light now, to bask in that light here, and to share that light everywhere? I'd like you to think this morning about who are those people who light up rooms for you. They may be people who have gone from your life now, who have passed from this earth now. They may be people whom you see every day. There may be for you some who are even in this room who do that for you. Then I want you to consider the source of that light. I'm here to suggest that that source is our God, our Creator. That the joy, that the light, that the life, that the truth that you feel when someone lights up a room is part of the light of our Creator who gives us life. And that that light coming through human beings is meant to be shared. You, believe it or not, might be one of those people for somebody today. When asked, who lights up rooms when they walk in? Someone might answer, you. Please know that if you fulfill that function for someone, there's deep responsibility in that. There's great joy in that. And there is a creative God in that. If you think to yourself, I'm probably not one of those people, I'm more of the oxygen-sucking kind of person, you might want to think about that a little bit. What would it mean to acknowledge God as your light? And to let that light move through you. One of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. And when George Bailey and Mary Hatch are talking together, they're courting, they don't know it yet, it seems. And George lets Mary know that he's going to lasso the moon for her. She says she'll take it. And she asks, then what? And you'll swallow it, see, he says. It'll move through you, and now I'm paraphrasing, and the lights will shoot out your fingertips. that thing that changes you, that light will flow through you and flow out of you so that everyone will see it. That is what it means to be bearers of the light of God. Jesus seemed to be one of those who lit up rooms when he entered them. People remembered when they were in rooms with Jesus. But it wasn't always rainbows and bunny rabbits, was it? Sometimes people remembered that their lies were challenged. Sometimes people remembered that the truth was exposed. Sometimes people remembered that their lifestyles were changed. Sometimes people remembered that their hatred was challenged. Who is your light? Revelation suggests that God is to be our light. And that the joy, the brightness, the love, and the life of that light heals nations, brings people together, exposes truth, and brings forth life. If God is our light, let us share that light, not just someday, but now. If God is our light, let us celebrate that light. Not just there and then, but here and now. If God is our light, let us be glad to share it. Let us be filled with joy when we perceive it and receive it. And let us acknowledge it day in and day out. Because the world, the hurting, shadow-filled, pain-ridden, seemingly darkened world needs that light. Now, it seems, more than ever. Receive that light. Let it flow through you and out of you. Share that light. Let others experience it, feel it, and know it, and proclaim the source of that light. The God of all creation, whom we celebrate and love in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen.